Hello, everyone. I'm Kevin Winder, and thanks for tuning in to another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. And as always, I have a question for you. Do you think the right political figure can save our world from the dumpster fire it has become? Do you think we need a new way to run society that works for everyone, that is good news for all people? In today's Christmas Eve podcast and post, I offer a perspective on what it means that a savior is born, and how Christmas is not a nostalgic memory of ancient history, nor the access point for a religion that is not capable of saving anyone. Join me now as we reconsider how the promise in the manger has anything to do with our world on fire. Hello, everybody. And thank you once again for coming back to yet another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. I am your host. My name is Kevin Winder. I like to serve the world as an online pastor, author, and uncoach, among many other things I do in the world, just like you. Welcome to the program. Welcome to Christmas Eve. So today we have a special Christmas Eve podcast, and I am super excited to bring this to you. I will say that it is likely one of those podcasts that will confuse people on opposite sides. So if you are over-identified with a religion, like if you're really, really over-identified with your religious identity, this may not fit in your framework. If you are the other side, if you've completely turned loose of what you think is all religion and you are, you know, purely secular, an atheist, or however you'd like to define yourself, this probably won't register with you either. But in the middle is a host, a lot of people who have a lot of questions. They're looking at the world and they wonder, how is this coming unwound and what's going to happen? And so I'm going to bring you what I think is a helpful perspective. I invite you to be present, try and follow the logical steps that I bring before you so that you can kind of rethink, reconsider what Christmas is all about. It's podcast number 525, and I call it The Manger and the Dumpster Fire. Now, for decades, we've watched the nativity scene be relocated from the centerpiece of the Christmas season to the part which rarely even makes it onto Christmas cards. It's hard to even find, like, if you have a business section at Office Max to go in there and buy a Christmas card. You will be struggled to find anything that's specifically Christmas. It's almost all holiday greetings, best wishes, Happy New Year. If you have recently watched the Charlie Brown Christmas special that came out in the 70s, where Linus recites the true meaning of Christmas to Charlie Brown and the rest of the kids in his school, it would cause a mixed audience today to squirm and to feel uncomfortable. There's literally no public school where that would be allowed to be played today. Luke chapter 2, verse 10 is quoted in the Charlie Brown Christmas special from Linus. It says, "Fear not, behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." So let's think about this. The Christmas message is owned and operated now by religion. And the Christmas message at the time was not owned and operated by religion. It was an angel coming forth and speaking and saying, "This is good news and great joy for all people." The Christmas message is good news for everybody. But religion, I think, has co-opted this message. And if you listen to religion, it tells you that the good news, which is great joy for all people, is really a threat of really bad news for all people, unless they convert to a religion which, by the way, did not exist when the angel made this proclamation. And so how many Christmas messages that are going on this week are about the birth of a savior who only saves people with a list of contingencies, which also didn't exist at this proclamation, right? How many Christmas messages are going to be about substitutionary atonement, which didn't exist at this proclamation? I mean, is it any wonder so many modern people are kind of tuning out to the Christmas message, to the church thing? Yeah, I know there's a new wave of young Gen X, Gen Z folks who are turning to traditional religion and such. But that's not what I'm talking about. Most people have kind of, when the church talks, their eyes glaze over. And so what was the good news all about? Honestly, like, why did the kings, these leaders, these religious leaders and kings from other countries, meaning other religions, come and bring their gifts as they followed a star to pay homage to Christ Jesus as an infant? Why did those kings and religious leaders bow before baby Jesus, but the king of Rome wanted him dead? Would the promise of a savior being born at that time really be about not going to hell when they die? Do you think these people are like, you know what? This is amazing. Jesus Christ is born and he's going to bring a new religion so we can forget our religions because they aren't going to keep us from going to hell, but his new one will. Like, that's kind of the assumption as modern Christianity looks back on all this. Have you sat and thought through some of this stuff? Or did it mean something universal? I mean, it seems from the angel who made the proclamation, this is great news, good news of great joy for everybody. That sounds extremely universal. That seems very inclusive. But is the message in Christianity inclusive anymore? It sounds very exclusive when you go. It says, well, Jesus wants you to join his team, of course. So make sure you do. But if you don't, I'm so sorry. So it seems clearly that the soteriology, the framework of salvation, that is, of the religious industrial complex that exists today, differs completely, drastically from the soteriology of Jesus' arrival. A savior is born. Luke chapter 2, verse 14 goes on to say, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among the delighted people. That's amazing. Linus quotes all of this on the Charlie Brown Easter special. Good news to all people? Peace on earth? In our world, Linus reciting Luke chapter 2, 10 through 14 would not receive. It would not be received as good news. If it occurred in a public school, if you played the Charlie Brown Christmas special in a public school today, as it's depicted in the cartoon, there would be so many angry Karens who would sue the school or persecute you or claim some kind of religious infraction, or they would do something drastic. They would flood TikTok with complaints. And if it occurred on a college campus, this proclamation would be labeled hate speech. He might even get shot. Like, we couldn't be farther from what little our world knows of peace. So it seems understandable if people fail to make any connection between the arrival of Christ 2,000 years ago and how that story is supposed to penetrate a world so full of hate and envy and division and pride today. Do you struggle to connect the dots between this historical, nostalgic event that took place, written in the scripture, where some people aren't even sure if it took place? I believe it did, historically. I think there's evidence and proof that it did. But how does that connect to today? Now, religion has its way of connecting it to you. If you go and you sit in the machine, it's going to tell you. It's going to give you all the answers. The purveyors of this message, religion, they actually, I think, bear some responsibility here for the fact that most of the world doesn't connect here. The disconnect between 8-pound, 5-ounce baby Jesus, white Christian nationalism, and an expanding world of have-nots certainly has something to do with punting peace on earth and good news to all people out to a post-rapture Armageddon. Jesus' coming good news had nothing to do with that time back then, has nothing to do with the time right now. It has everything to do with if you are converted and get to go when he comes back. That'll be the good news. The good news is he's going to save you from the big dumpster fire. But our world is already kind of a dumpster fire, isn't it? I mean, this subject of rapture and looking at the news and claiming that AI is the Antichrist, and, you know, here are the five things that are happening in our news today that didn't happen last week. Start your countdown. The rapture is here. You've been warned. Like, these are all the things that are across the Twitter sphere. And these are the prime focus of evangelicals these days. And it's really, you know, get on the bus before it's too late. That's the message. It's not good news and great joy for all people. Can we understand why some people are calling BS and are checking out? The failure of the church and its mission here is glaring. And I hate to point it out as if I'm throwing stones at the church. I love the church. I seek its renewal and redemption and its successful mission in the world. But it's way off course. And so whenever I say stuff like this, people get really upset. And for this reason, I'd like to close this humongous chasm that exists between little baby Jesus and the world on fire here. It's this place where our politics is exactly what we require to see when this thing has been hidden in plain sight for 2,000 years. Like, this gap is exactly what I would expect to see. So let me ask you, if a figure, an influencer, could arrive today, someone way more charismatic than Mondami. If they arrived today, that could bring both political parties together, that had policies that incentivize the hardworking people with a better life, but it didn't forsake the most marginalized of our world. This figure would certainly gain attention. If every time he or she spoke, an obvious kind of wisdom came out of their mouth, a common sense reality that placed all people above any political agenda, any power play, place the people ahead of money grabs. It would only take a few necessary tweaks that could be made, and that would satisfy everyone's need rather than everyone's greed. Like, within a short amount of time, people would begin to believe again. The skepticism and cynicism and fear would be replaced by a substantive change that required all of us to work together and serve one another. Like, this kind of a figure, this kind of a leader, an influencer, would challenge us to from being so selfish and say, look, you can succeed and get ahead and do well and provide for your family and have a full, rich, prosperous life. And you need to do that in conjunction with making sure all others come with you. It's not just about you climbing the anthill, no matter how many people you step on. It's how do we raise all the boats? Now, this may seem a little bit Pollyannish, right? No such figure exists, Kevin. Stop it. You know it'll never work. You can't imagine a day where CNN and Fox News say the same thing. I mean, they make their money causing you to hate half the world. And if you believe them, then you hate half the world. You're part of the problem. But each of us can see exactly how such a figure, who didn't forsake anyone, could be seen as the savior of the world. I mean, such wisdom would be copied by other countries who sought similar peace and success. You know, obviously, assuming that there isn't some small group of global elitists who are trying to dismantle every society, bring total chaos so they can have world domination. But assuming that's not the case, and America figured it out with the help of this amazing influencer, others would be like, hey, let's do what they're doing too. And so let me just say today, Jesus Christ is that figure prophesied from the past, who possesses such wisdom, who speaks truth to power and frees people from the overreach of institutional power. A savior is born not just 2,000 years ago, but each and every moment. The wisdom of Christ is that he's offered a counterintuitive kingdom based on entirely different rules than what you and I have lived under. It's not capitalism. I can guarantee you it's definitely not socialism. It's wisdom. It's love. It's self-dying sacrifice for the sake of all others. As you go down, others go up. And guess what? Because others are going down, you go up. Total integration. The Christmas message isn't that this was true 2,000 years ago, but that it's always been true. It's always been true. But Christmas occurs when it becomes true for you and for me. See, our world puts our faith in all of our big political engines, our institutions, our powers, and folks, it's clearly not working. Should we just double down and keep going? It's like, do you really want to trust Fauci with vaccine information? Like, we all know now that was a mistake. Like, do you want to just double down and just keep giving all your attention to CNN or Fox News or one party or this party? Or should we consider the Christmas strategy? That's really the issue. And I'm not trying to turn this into a political podcast. You know me, 525 podcasts, not one of them has been about politics. But in this case, good news for everyone has a political effect. And good news to all people is not a political ideology. It's the net effect of living in fidelity to the truth. A savior is born the moment we begin to see his story playing out in our life. Jesus' world and our world, our dumpster fire world, are not fundamentally different. Rome came to an end not too long after all of that. Certainly, Jerusalem did in AD 70. Lots of big world powers are no longer with us. Let's not assume America can withstand it all either. The same stupid, forgetful voices that brought empires down in the past are capable of doing it today. And we look around and our whole world is full of such foolish voices. The moment we recognize the wisdom of God through the context of friendship is the moment the Savior is born anew in each of us. We discover our marginalization was first His marginalization. We're all an immigrant, so to speak. He was too. Our political suffering is also His political suffering. His religion rejected Him because He spoke against it. He deconstructed, and He bore the left foot of fellowship, so to speak. Every aspect of His life is found living today, born anew in each of our lives. Have you ever thought of that? You are living Christ's life. All of you. All of everybody is. It's so much so that none of us can get through life and miss it. And once you see it, the Savior is born as your life. I think that closes the gap pretty darn well. And so the dumpster fire of our world is exactly what we would expect to see when we live disintegrated from history's most central, most controversial, and most powerful influencer. Christmas means the Savior is born and His wisdom is for all people. And the net effect of His power will alter every corner of our globe and every soul who finally sees it. We could have a new world within a few months' time, but it won't come from religion, I can promise you that. It won't come from politics either. Never has. These haven't produced a new world, folks. Just the same boss, just as the old boss. It's not going to come from our institutional powers. It is going to come the only way it has ever been promised to come. When each one of us dies to ourselves and loves our enemy. That's how you eradicate your enemies. You don't blow them up. You love them. Jesus in a manger means that the Savior has come. And His kingdom flows from the inside out, not from the outside in. And so when this takes root in you, the Savior is born in you. And so the manger story is not totally historical. It's the present moment. And this is truly good news for all people because it's here now. It's here today. And it starts when what has always been true becomes true for you. God bless you as you contemplate these things.